And Frank Caliendo is here in studio with us. Frank, good morning.
Hey, how are you? It's funny to hear old stuff that I don't remember doing.
You hear yourself? Does that throw you a little bit?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think the Rome's even gotten better. The Riddler? Nice job by him. What is going on there? Frank Gorshin.
Nice reference.
By me. A great reference by me. Making your show even better.
Any feedback from Jim Rome? I know we've asked you in the past about Madden, and you knew that he didn't like it, but that, did he ever say
that? There's that story about Madden. My manager went up to him at the Super Bowl and goes, what do you think of the guy? Does the great John Madden impression? I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? I don't like it, and I should have been Shrek. He didn't actually say the Shrek thing, but that's probably the reason why he doesn't like me. But he would have been perfect, right? Yeah, I've seen the Muffin Man. Oh, me lives on Drury Lane. Hey, that doggy sounds like Eddie Murphy over there. You got the gingerbread man right there. The gingerbread man is the only man who lives in a house that's made out of the same thing as him. I mean, you could eat your house and not be a cannibal. I mean, the gingerbread man is the Brett Favre of Shrek world.
Is it possible Shrek was still modeled after John Madden?
Yeah,
in terms of physique?
It could have been. You know, if he stuffed something into something else and then stuffed that into something like a turducken. I mean, that's what you do. I'm going to stuff the gingerbread. Why is man always stuffing things? I mean,
including himself.
Yeah, he's going to stuff a chicken into a duck into a turkey and stuff it into me. Boom! AIOU and sometimes why?
I was telling this story earlier. He's also, not surprisingly, a strange guy. I was going to interview him. We kept walking. He's just looking nervously at me. And when we got to open space, then he was allowed to talk.
Right.
And his handler said, don't shake his hand, and you're barely allowed to look at him.
Isn't that weird?
I mean, so beyond his on-air persona, yes, he's strange. That's Frank Caliendo. Mad TV, I guess, is where you were discovered. Is that fair to say?
I was on a show called Hype on the WB that was really bad.
I missed that.
Yeah, well, you don't be. You saved yourself some time. That show got canceled. They put me on Mad TV, and I actually, while I was on Hype, I did the first John Madden for President on the Fox NFL Sunday bit where Jimmy Kimmel brought me on, and we're eating chicken wings, and all of a sudden the wing sauce was all over my face, and Madden didn't like that. And then he took a pair of hedge clippers to the Madden eyebrows. and I wonder why he doesn't like me. Nice job, Caliendo. Guess what? I can't stand you either. No. Jim Rome's actually never said anything. But I think he avoids me. That was how that started, Mad TV. And then I got the Fox gig after Kimmel left. And it's been, it started out a little rough. It was tough to figure out what to do because you have people who have all these different ideas of how to do it. And what we realized is that it really has to be about football. And then you work backwards from that. You can't try and throw just a Robert De Niro sketch in there. And that's what they're having me do. They're having me do these things that just didn't seem very football, like. And then we found ways to do it, like Dr. Phil talking to, Dante Culpepper writing a letter to Dr. Phil and stuff like that. So, Dr. Phil is basically John Madden for women on daytime television. He doesn't tell you anything,
If you're crying, you're probably sad on the inside. Really? Is it because Brett Favre almost left?
It's that kind of thing. So, and the one that actually got me out of the gutter the first year was doing a Jim Rome sketch. We had a guy play 100, we had a guy that was 100 years old play Al Davis, and he falls asleep during one of the Jim Rome pauses. Now I'm going to pause for no reason. Are you there? Come on. Somebody put some more black grease through his hair. That'd be phenomenal.
In his designer sweatsuit, no less.
We had him in like a FUBU outfit or something. It was, and then at the end of the year, right around Christmas time, I played all four of the guys, Terry, Howie, Jimmy, and JB, and they went, they went crazy for it. JB's mom was asking for a copy of it, and Terry's like, I got to see that again, man. Now, that was funny. It's like being on American Idol every week with Bradshaw, because he thinks he's Simon Cowell, because he'd be like, not funny, Frank, not funny. Then after the shows, I was like, very funny, Frank, very funny. I'm like, why don't you say that while I'm on TV? Well, Howie hadn't explained it to me yet, that kind of a thing.
Frank Caliendo is with us here in studio on 590 The Fan. You can catch him tonight at the Westport Funny Bone. The 7:30 show is sold out, but there's some tickets available for the 10 o'clock show, the midnight show. You can call the box office there at Westport, 314-469-6692, 314-469-6692, to see Frank Caliendo tonight. And I imagine mostly, is it all imitations? And do people just yell out, drunk guys yelling, come on, New Rome, man, what you waiting for?
Yeah, sometimes they will. And I'll be like, less of you and more of me is a good thing. Come on, dude. Stop drinking. You should be kicked out of here. Yeah, I have an act, you know, and it's like, it's not like, we were talking about Danny Gans before, and see, the thing that I try to do different than most of these guys who do impressions, whether they're good or not, is I try and sculpt an act, you know, it's about going from one thing to another. There's writing involved, and that's why impressions get such a bad rap is, most of the times they stink. They're like, what if Jack Nicholson was working at a deli? Well, why would Jack Nicholson? He's got millions of dollars. He's not going to work at a deli. So I always try to take the true stuff, you know, the things that are real. And sometimes I'll go off on, you know, little tangents, but like, I take the observations. Like President Bush, it seems like he's always looking directly into the sun. You know, he does that little squint look. And sometimes, when he'll get to the end of the sentence and he won't be able to think of that last word, and you find yourself kind of rooting for him to get it. It's like a scene from The Water Boy, like, you can do it! You know? Be talking about something serious like the terrorists. Be like, these terrorists! These guys are bad. You know? Yeah, like, sir.
Hey, all right. Way to go, Prez.
And I got to do that stuff. I got to do that with Vice President Cheney sitting right next to me at the Congressional Correspondents' Dinner. Now, this is before the guy did Bush with Bush that they did all the press on that I still believe they got it, figured out that would be a great idea after I did this. But, you know, looking over at Cheney, I think he's going to be angry. He's laughing his rear end off. You know, Cheney's on the side like, rah! He looks like the penguin from Batman. Like, rah, rah, rah. And
you're also afraid he might die at any point if he laughs too hard.
Well, yeah. And originally, the president was supposed to be there, and I that's why I wanted to do it. Then I realized it's good that he's not going to be there, because, you know, he might not have liked me. Look over at Cheney and goes, I can't stand this guy, Dick. Pull! You know, that kind of a thing. So it all ended up working. I did Madden as Secretary of Defense to start out answering the questions for the press, you know. What do you think about the war on terror?
Well, I think we're doing what we have to do, and as long as we keep doing that kind of thing and protecting what we have to protect, then we're gonna get done the things we need to get done.
And everybody's like, that's exactly what it's like talking to Rumsfeld. You know, so
I got to ask you a question, Frank. Obviously, you've been doing impressions for, I'd say, probably quite a long time, professionally, not professionally. Did it ever get annoying? Because I guarantee every one of your friends, when they'd introduce you to somebody else, this guy does a great, and like, go, do it. You
know? Yeah, I mean, people used to do that some, but now I just don't go anywhere anymore. So, I don't know. Sometimes people will do that, and, you know, if people, fans come up and say, do it, I'll do it, because I don't care. I mean, it makes them happy, so it's it's kind of what I do, and, you know, I'm making a good living off of it, so I like to see other people. If they're fans, you know, it's good to do it for them, you know, it's like...
But I mean, like when you were younger, or so, and you'd go to a party, and like some guy. Oh, remember that I told you about that guy that I knew who did like this really good. Here he is. Go.
Yeah. Our fourth grade math teacher. Yeah. He mocks her well.
Well, first of all, I'd have to be invited to a party, and that didn't happen. No, a little bit. I guess I was always the center of attention when I was at like any kind of, and people would just like circle around me. I used to play baseball. I played baseball, junior Olympic baseball. We used to go to national championships and stuff like that. We actually won it in 1988, the whole AAU thing. But
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Finally, I've been waiting for that.
Tommy Mansky's defensive drills?
Yeah.
Is that part of it? Back-to-back-to-back national AAU championships.
Well,
okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
We won it in Urbandale, Iowa.
Cut his mic over there.
I know exactly what commercial that is. I can just see the kid hitting off the tee and the ball swinging around.
For
right
some
now.
Reason, Fred McGriff
with the hat on sideways. These guys,
his hat's on like up like that.
Yeah, and Fred McGriff's probably made like $80 million in baseball, and he's doing this cheesy ass commercial late at night. Man.
Yeah, but people used to just congregate around me, and I used to just tell stories and do whatever, and you know, like voices and stuff like that. But now, I'm like anonymous at a party or something. If I go somewhere, I'm just like in the corner, nobody sees. Because I have the outlet now, like, you know,
sure.
Like at the Funny Bone.
There's a guy who's got another plug-in.
Dude, that's enough of that, Caliendo. It's not a fake tour stop. There are not going to be billions of people there. You're not that good.
What does a Jim Rome tour stop consist of anyway? What the hell could he do? It's not like he's going to sing and dance.
Well, I think Rome just gets out there and it's a lot of money for somebody to bring him in. It's some kind of ridiculous thing. And then they have to get these marquee name people in, like local, you know, sports celebrities and stuff like that. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything. So they have to, and I don't think they're allowed to show the Chrissy Hebert thing. Hey, Chris. Chris,
does he not like that? Because I think that's what made him
what
he is.
That's what made him, but you know, and to me, that would be like me going and saying, guys, I'm not going to do the Madden today. Yeah, am I all right? Okay.
There's a guy who knows you have to.
You know, whatever. I mean, whatever, people. I mean, I like these guys. That's why I do it. I like Madden in some way. I mean, there's some ways that you watch Madden, you go, that's ridiculous. But there's some things that he's still fun to watch in some ways. I mean, he's not, I don't think he's for the diehard sports people. I think he's for the masses more. It's like Fox NFL Sunday's for the masses more. If you're watching, if you're going to watch for all the numbers and everything, you're probably going to be watching ESPN. I mean, that's, even our my bosses say that kind of stuff. They're like, you know, that's what you're watching, but you're watching for pure entertainment value. You're watching Terry, you know, and you're watching Howie just go, you know, what's he got? What's he drink? You know, it's always that.
It's very similar to what's going on here.
Yeah, same kind of magic. Clearly.
Well, for Terry, it's always like, oh,
well, if you want,
take all your pills. I forgot a couple.
Said, if you want anything hard hitting sports, wrong stop right here. Correct.
That is correct. Thank you, Chris. Okay. You can see Frank Caliendo tonight. He's at the Westport Funny Bone, 314-469-6692. Tickets available for the 10 o'clock and the midnight show. I'm curious on Fox NFL Sunday where the sketch comes from and how long is it? Do you shoot Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? When does it come together?
When we watch the games on Sunday, we talk on Sunday, me and the producer and a guy, Jeff Cesario, writes, and another guy, Scott Long, has helped out in the past and been a writer. We'll talk on Sunday. Monday, we basically have to bring the idea to our boss, Scott Ackerson. So we'll say, here's the pitch idea. He'll say, I like it, hate it, and there's a lot more hating it than liking it. And then if the first one doesn't go, we have to start a second one. If the first one does go, then we go on. We sculpt it on Tuesday, and we're shooting by Wednesday. So it's only 3 days to get it done. This year, I actually am not done with Mad TV, so we'll go all the way to Thursday. We'll get Thursday, which is going to help tremendously putting the sketches together because, you know, that extra day, you don't realize how much you can get done in 24 hours just tweaking that joke and that joke. And a lot of times, the sketches end up being 3.5 minutes, and we got to get them down to 2.5. So sometimes you lose, you know, some content, or you have to make it make sense. So if you're editing, that's the really hard thing. You got a 3.5 thing. Now you got to take out two of the best jokes because it doesn't make sense when they're in there. So, or it's too long when they're in there, and it doesn't make sense if you leave them in and get rid of something that's important, you know?
So let me explain that again. If you get rid of the storyline in the sketch, it doesn't make sense, so you have to get rid of the jokes, and then it's not as funny.
And then I come in and say, not funny, guys. Not funny.
One of your more noted sketches here in St. Louis, you had Brenda Warner on there.
Oh, boy, yeah. Wasn't that
and
something?
We're sitting in the offices. I work for the local Fox, right. And we're watching. We're laughing and laughing. Phone lines light up. And I'm like, hello? They're like, who was it? I'm not that funny. I didn't think it was funny either. Immediately sold you out. I'm like, here's the number, the comment line in L.A. Call those people because that was very distasteful. I agree. And they're like, and then we're like, let's watch that back. Let's
yeah, rewind and watch yeah, that back. Was great. Bo Collins played her, and I heard Kurt was upset about it. And you know, it's a joke. It's not, you know. Listen, if you put yourself out in the public, you have to be able to take that. Listen, I get called fat and dumb and ugly every week, but that I put myself out there, I have to be able to take it. So if you put yourself in that situation, you have to understand that now you're part of the national meet. You put yourself in there. I mean, hey, listen, I still like Kurt Warner. When he was here, he was unbelievable. And he still got some signs of greatness. He just ends up getting hurt a lot. But that sketch, you know, did Mo play her anything like Brenda Warner really? No. But that it was. Brendan Warner wouldn't have been exactly as funny, you know, if we'd have done it. And I know he had called JB and said, what's that all about? And JB's like, hey, we have to get ratings. You know, it was that. I had nothing to do with it, but that's what it's all about.
I like how when there's anything risky, they'll call JB. JB, come on. Clean that up, would you?
Yeah, well, because he's always the, you know, he.
The voice of reason.
When I did the Super Bowl sketch a couple years ago where I played all four of them and Terry behind the scenes as a genius instead of being the dumb rednecky guy, JB is really.
Clearly, it's comedy.
Yeah, and JB's. A jerk off stage throwing coffee on interns. Howie's a very sensitive guy crying all the time, and Jimmy takes off his hair and admits to knowing nothing about football and that it was all luck for him. But you know, JB apologized to his bishop during the Super Bowl. I'm not really like that, you know. So it's just silly stuff. And like I said, the only one I actually felt a little bit bad about. The one I felt the worst about is we really killed Dante Culpepper last year for stuff. We you know, because the Vikings stunk so bad, we were just we were doing these Dr. Phil, and we had a guy that looked so much like Dante that it was just perfect. He's like, "Dear Dr. Phil," you know, and it turned out great. And he goes, "Dante, you have to start owning up to these problems." And it really wasn't his fault, but we needed a sketch that week, so that happens too. But I talked to what's his name, Drew Rosenhaus a few months ago now, and Drew was like, "Hey, I tell the players, you know, because we did a Drew Rosenhaus. I did Rome, and we had a guy that Drew Rosenhaus wig, and we put a bunch of 70s disco stuff on him, and he just, you know, just a bunch of gold and a gold TL and stuff
cheesy.
Like that." Well, we had to make him over the top, and Drew got it, and you know, he said, I tell the guys I represent, hey, this is a good thing, you know, even when it seems bad. I said, hey, Drew, any of those guys, any NFL player that wants to come on and make fun of me, that's fine. I'll let them do whatever they want. We'd love to have a guest who just comes on and somehow calls me stupid or dumb or fat. Whatever you want, you know, tackle me. We had T.O. tackle me once. I was Rome, and he came running through he was in the other satellite box. He comes walking across, and he just tackles me. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. That's the, you know, I don't care about. Look at me. I dress up and, you know, put makeup on every week. What am I going to do?
Frank Caliendo with us in studio. You can see him on the Fox NFL Sunday pregame show tonight. You can see him at the Westport Funny Bone. Can you give us a little sampling of what will take place tonight? Do you just segue from one to the next?
Yeah, you know, it's I set it all up. It's like, you know, it's the Robin Williams theory of comedy. If you don't have a joke, just switch voices. You know what I'm saying? And we're dancing. We're back. Okay, see how it worked? you know, like Jeff Goldblum, he'll commit to something 100% and then do a complete 180. I know what you're thinking. That's a lot of math, but follow me. He'll just go like, what do you say? What's your favorite food? I like hot dogs. I do. They're very, very good. I like hot dogs, mustard, ketchup, relish, all kinds of things. Chili dogs are even better. Wait a second. I'm a vegetarian. I like vegetarians because they work with animals. You know, that kind of stuff. It's just the silly stuff. The guy I've been working on lately that is actually, it's funny because voices are very similar. Madden is here. Ted Koppel is here. Bill Cosby's right there. And then Bill Walton is the guy I've been working on lately. When a player figures out how good he really is and you look inside, I remember playing for the wizard John Wooden. And it's just, he's always got a reference. Like, he's always got like a thesaurus in front of him. Bombastic. Using the word bombastic in a sentence. Well, I remember being at Berkeley 1965, growing blotches of beard all over my face. None of them connected. Jerry Garcia waiting to come out on stage. I could feel colors. I could hear things that were looking directly at me. You know, that's always fun. I remember that year because it was the last time I breathed through my nose. You know, that kind of stuff.
And John Wooden is always there as a reference point constantly.
The greatest teacher in the history of the world. The entire arena rising as one. That's when like three guys stand up together. The entire arena rising as one.
Does Al Pacino make a
appearance? Yeah, I'm always there. Remember when he played that football coach? What was that movie?
Any Given Sunday,
that terrible piece of garbage. And he wore
a
leather
coat. Why
wouldn't
a football coach be 4 foot nine?
4 foot nine and wearing a leather jacket, you know? I'm like the Fonz. What play you calling? Hey, come on. You got to be with it.
Frank Caliendo can be seen tonight at the Westport Funny Bone. Tickets available for the 10 o'clock and the midnight show, 7:30, sold out. Tickets, 469-6692. Well, hopefully, Frank, we'll see you on the Fox pregame show this year with our guy Joe Buck hosting. That's still to be determined, but that would add to the fun and games for those of us here in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
I actually hope that because I don't have his voice. If it does happen, it'd be one I'd work on, too. And then I'd love to get some of those older file footage of Buck when he was a little bit chubbier. And that'd be great because, you know, I know I'm going to get called fat by those guys at some point. It'd be just great to show some old Joe Buck, a little bit thicker.
The early days with Tim Green up there in the booth. We might be able to help you find some shots of that as
well. We'll get it. We'll get it. Believe me, I'll be searching.
All right, Frank, have fun tonight, and thanks for coming by.
Thanks, guys. Seacrest out.